All right, Friday, and the PetroServe USA microphones are back in Fargo along I-29, where I get to see the world go by on a clear but cool day. Kev, whoo! It's a little toasty, a little frosty. Crying out loud, I wore some
love it
wussy jacket that didn't do it today, so I'm turning up the heat. I am turning up the heat. Did you get to listen to, for comprehension yesterday while you were piloting things, the Ross Perot interview?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, watched it. Yeah.
I think that guy made a very good case, for lack of a better term, of how Ross Perot was Donald Trump before there was a Donald Trump. I'm just thinking a million different ways. I mean,
That's why I liked him.
Yeah.
I love Ross
Did
Perot.
Did you?
I loved him.
I loved the humor, and I I couldn't help but like that. But I really thought that, and at the time, it's a different world now, but I thought George Herbert Walker Bush deserved another 4 years at a minimum, and thought was a likable, sweet guy. I don't know. I'd like to go back and examine everything a little differently. And now I think about a CIA guy who became president and came from kind of the upper echelon. But I've met him. I've interviewed him. Same with his wife. And they're kind people. So I wanted him to win just to keep the Reagan legacy alive. And I always thought Perot messed that up and elected Bill Clinton. But do you remember the part in the interview where he said, my dad had been president, 9/11 wouldn't have happened. And his reasoning for that is, do you remember when Clinton was at some cocktail party and a military aide came up and said they need to talk to you immediately? And he said, yeah, give me a minute. And continued cocktails, and like 45 minutes later came over and they said, never mind, we had bin Laden in our sights and wanted the authorization to take him out. You remember that part? That was one thing he said would have been different. Oh, and he said COVID would have never happened, I believe. I can't remember. Something to do with China. But both of them, I said, you're not wrong. So, interesting interview. If you missed it, I would suggest you tune that in. Let's talk about today. It's also a cool video because you see all the artifacts that he's talking about. So check that out on all of our social media. We have a bunch of reels of it, too, so it's kind of fun. Today on the program, we call What's on Your Mind. Senator Kevin Cramer and I did an interview last night for the Talk Radio Town Hall. We're going to start that a little early today, and there's a lot in there about the shutdown, about this is classic Trump. So he builds a ballroom, right? And all of these lemming Democrats literally go to the ballroom thing and freak out. And then while he has them over there, he's doing nine things they don't even realize. And one of the nine he's screwing up on, and they're not even taking advantage of that. It's a beautiful thing. So we talk a lot about the shutdown, obviously, and Schumer and a few other things like that. And I think there's some things happening both in the energy sector that ties into the technology wave we have going on and the ability for North Dakota to really take advantage of the world's need for more compute power and these intelligence factories, and then how that connects to national defense. And one thing about Senator Cramer that people forget, he's on the Armed Services Committee. He chairs a committee that's about every part of our armed forces. They call it the Air and Land Committee. So anything to do with the air and the land, meaning National Guard, whatever, everything but sea. And what is happening to the transformation of Minot Air Force Base, Grand Forks Air Force Base, and other entities in North Dakota like Grand Sky, like the private sector companies that are here now, Northrop Grumman and others. UND is a good example of this, where they're all working together to fix these problems. I was at an event at UND where they had the best of the best around the table, engineers, aerospace, the whole deal. And a guy by the name of General Gutling was in. And he at the time was, I think, deputy chief of staff of the Air Force, and now he's head of the Space Development Agency, or Space Force. I think Space Force. And this whole thing was set up by Senator Kramer, who brought him to have him, deputy secretary of the Air Force, now head of the Space Force, to tell everybody at UND, like, his world, right? Is making sense, Kev? Typical Air Force general comes, in this case Space Force now, and you know, here's what you need to know, and then they learn, and they say, maybe we can help here, maybe. He actually turned the tables completely. This is an Air Force general. And he said, we have a need for speed, and you need to tell me everything I need to hear without regard of whether you think it'll offend me or not. What we need to do, so you have an easier job of helping us. Said no Air Force general ever. And part of this is the drone world, because if you ask the Air Force right now and the Space Force, what's our biggest vulnerability as a country? They would tell you what Ukraine did to Russia. You can fact check this for me, Kev, but I believe the Ukrainians with drones took out like one-third of the military hard assets of Russia. Wrap your mind around that. It's why the war's not ended yet. It's why Putin doesn't control Ukraine right now. And most of those drones came from us. So could the same thing happen to us? Could Russia or China or whatever go, all right, we're going to send drones off of each coast, and we're going to take out Grand Forks Air Force Base, B-12s, all the hard assets that are just out in the open. That's a vulnerability. And remember the whole deal in New Jersey with drones, okay? What'd they say, Kev? Oh, these are fine. They're friendly. They're people looking at, I don't know, the ocean and trying to find seals. Well, 10 of them might have been, but another 10 might have been testing, where can we go? And the trouble is, you don't know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. So having Senator Kramer on that wall for us, really important. And Grand Forks Air Force Base, Minot, are all being transformed to beat China, to protect us against China and all these threats. So it's an interesting conversation. We'll share that with you today as well. Sound good? We up for that?
Well, 100%.
You kind of sound like you're a little...
I'm reading about Representative Ron Kresha in Minnesota, who's just been hit with a $1 million lawsuit over PPP loan fraud.
Oh, good. Another,
that's the daily fraud in Minnesota, brother. Sorry,
we could do an update on
distracted.
That.
Yeah.
No. You find another stories. I was at coffee this morning with some buddies, and they said, how about this NBA deal? I said, what do you mean?
Oh, jeez.
I left there saying, this is Pete Rose on steroids. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
People are going to jail. Did you see Cash Patel on it?
Oh, yeah, we had him on the TiVo this morning.
I love it. So we also got Craig Bohl on today, former Bison great coach, and he is now the head of the Coaches Association trying to fix this NIL mess alongside Donald Trump. We'll talk with him on the show today. So a lot to do. Buckle up. We're going to go to it on What's on Your Mind. Are we doing a little Johnny Cash action today, or are you going to do a little bit of everything? A little something. I love this.
That's right now.
This is in my music playlist.
Oh, no.
Are you using mine today?
It came up on my on my little shuffle program here.
I love it.
There you go. I love
that. What's on your mind continues. What's for lunch today? I didn't have breakfast. Didn't even have my usual banana because I ran to Mass in a hurry after reuniting myself with the puppies in our family. Aren't puppies anymore, but so I did not even have a banana. I did not even have a banana. So I am a little hungry, and I'm thinking, where am I going to go to lunch today? So it's Friday, and they have Sloppy Joe's at that great new Cheyenne and I-94 location, Petroserve, USA, and in Castleton, and in NP Avenue. It's probably Auntie Erickson's recipe. That's usually how they do it. They have a test kitchen. So they're constantly thinking about how to make the best caramel roll, chicken pot pie, Valley City today, seafood rangoon or lasagna, West Main Avenue, West Fargo. What else? bacon cheeseburger, mac and cheese at 12th and I-29, chicken fettuccine. All the, that's on 45th Street. All of these come with, it's a beef stew in Glendon. It's kind of a cold day. That might be all right. You get two sides and a bun with it. So it's pretty good. So Steve Hallstrom, the president of this company called Flank Family Media, but also a Vikings fan, is here. Kev is here. And I asked the sports guys to come in, Kev. So if you can give us all the mics, we're going to need pretty much all of them to talk about this. Steve, my apologies, first of all, for two reasons. You were a busy guy last night and didn't get a chance to watch the Vikes till later, and so you were doing it on delay. And then you and I were talking in live time, and I think I might have spoiled a little bit of a surprise once or twice, yeah. I think. I don't know.
Well, the first time I didn't mind because you didn't know. But then you like three times after that said, yeah, it's looking bad. So thanks for that. No, it's all right.
I was trying to save you the time.
Yeah, no,
watching it.
Yeah, I was, I love watching the games from the beginning just because I like seeing how things happen. Box scores only tell you a certain amount. Look, everybody wants to make a football game's outcome based on one thing. You point the finger at one guy, say, this is why. It's never that simple. But I know a few things. Number one, the Vikings threw most of that game last night on the offensive line, which I believe is the most important position group of any on the field. If you got a dominant offensive line, you got a shot. They were without for most of that game. Their two starting tackles, their starting center, and then your guards are a rookie playing his like fourth game, and then a free agent they picked up who is solid, not spectacular. He's nobody's first team all pro. And they just got destroyed by a very, very average front seven for the Chargers. So that obviously is a big deal. No, you can complain about Carson Wentz's execution. You can't complain about his toughness. My gosh, it looked like they were trying to kill him out there to collect on a life insurance policy.
And by the way, welcome to Carson Wentz's life. Has he ever not had that? Anyway, hold that thought. We have a fine sponsor on. Then we're going to bring in Big Game James and Jace from the sports department, too, and get all these jamokes to tell me whether it was somebody else's fault or what. To Steve's point, though, I think that'd be the one thing, right, reason for the loss.
The last thing I'll say, and then I can be done, actually, it's so important for your quarterback to be sharp early. Early in the first quarter, early in the third quarter. First play last night, swing pass to Aaron Jones, back after being gone for a month, and Carson throws it behind him. It's a simple throw that your high school quarterback's got to make 9 out of 10 times. Carson missed it. Didn't make him a bad guy, but he missed that play. How different is the game if they get that pass out, he gets 8, 9, 10 yards or whatever, you get ahead of the sticks, and it just felt like from that point on, they just could never quite recover.
The sticks, I like that. That's good stuff. Aren't they high-tech now, the sticks? You don't even have to take the chains out anymore, do you? It's like micro-inches. I love it. Thank you, boss. Appreciate you. James and Jace are here, too, and hang around if you want to hear these guys' take. Kevin's as well, after we talk with our friends at Heritage Homes. Troy Mattern's on the phone. Troy, first your best 30 seconds on the Vikes last night. What'd you think?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Steve. It's interesting, the dynamic up front, and anytime you get five guys that are in different spots each week, it always creates a little havoc, but it's just crazy that they're running such deep progression routes. You'd think they'd try to get the ball out a little bit quicker with Carson and just get some flow. But, when you don't have the protection up front and you're getting your running back out in routes and you're only protecting five and they're bringing five or six and you're running long routes, you kind of get the results you get. So it's unfortunate. But I think anytime you put the Vikings on prime time, you know what you're going to get. It's crazy.
Unreal. So let's talk a little bit about the ranch. I only have a couple minutes here, but I do want to talk about this awesome deal. You obviously have a new community built by Heritage Homes, and this one, West Fargo, the best example of it, but a new one in Horace. What's happening that we need to know about in the next couple of days?
Yeah, we're having an event next Tuesday from 4:30 to 6:30 at our ranch at the Wilds Clubhouse, and really what it is we're looking for different opportunities for people that have a lot of equity in their home and they don't want to use that equity, or most importantly, they don't want to have a mortgage payment. So it's tied to our 62 and older community. We have opportunities for them to be able to put their cash to work and have no mortgage payment, but yet it's only a portion of what the house costs, and then they can use the rest of their cash to go on vacations, hang with the grandkids. So that event is actually next Tuesday night, like I said, 4:30 to 6:30. We only have 3 units left at the Ranch of the Wild, 3 of 77 left, So we want to get you out there for that. But then, like you said, we also started our new development out in Horace, the ranch at Sunset Valley, which is going to have 56 new opportunities. And the biggest thing with these communities, it's that social living. It's the community living with the clubhouse, come out with your friends and family, the pool, pickleball courts, the golf simulator, the fitness center. So it's all that community living in one spot. So come out and visit us on Tuesday, 4:30 to 6:30, and we'll get you educated on different ways we can get you into a brand new home with no mortgage.
Yeah, by the way, there's a couple left in West Fargo, less than $8,500 in specials. Move in ready, so I only wish I was 62. Online at heritagefargo.com, heritagefargo.com. Thank you, Troy. Appreciate it.
All right, Scott. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right, few minutes left here with the Jamokes from the sports office here. Jace, what's your take on last night? You're the gray-haired season pro here. Yeah. What'd you think?
I mean, it looks as though, once again, you've got that pressure coming on Carson Wentz, and he's getting happy feet in the backfield and just doesn't look comfortable back there. And I realize that James has, you know, mentioned to me several times, there's a lot of question marks with that offensive line of the Minnesota Vikings. But if you give your quarterback time, and it could be your second or third stringer, if you give your quarterback enough time in the NFL, he'll pick you apart. And when you don't give him that kind of time or that comfort level in that backfield, he's going to make mistakes.
He's screwed from the beginning, though, yeah, with that O-line.
Yeah, pretty much.
So is Steve right that they should be doing Coach Mattern just said, just do quick passes.
You've got to get it out quicker. You got longer developing plays down the field. I mean, you've got probably the best wide receiver in all of football on your roster in Justin Jefferson.
Right.
He's always open. I mean, he's like 7'11". You got to find a way to get him the ball, get it to him quickly.
I got to tell you a funny thing. I heard somebody call into one of the shows after, and they said, we clearly need to trade JJ. Yeah, and
okay.
Yeah, because we need more help. And like, set down the crack pipe. James, to his take and Steve's take and Troy's, sounds to me like they're saying we got out-coached. The KO got out-coached. Is that fair?
I think, there was a lot of out-coaching with it. And, I mean, schematically, you got to simplify things. Mm-hmm. I think Coach Mattern said it well. Look at the Deacons. Their bread and butter has been these short swing passes, bubble screens, slant routes, extending the running game with the pass game to get your quarterback in rhythm and to be able to move the chains, whether you have a shoddy offensive line or a really talented offensive line. And when you're missing a pass to begin the game before you take a hit, then you take a couple, your ribs hurt, your off shoulders hurt, things go sideways in a hurry, unfortunately. And the Vikings, that big pick six to start out, gets wiped off. Then
let's talk about that a second. So, Kev, you're on a text ring, and I've saw three replays. Did we get screwed seven ways to Sunday, like Drew Pearson 1997 stuff, or what?
We could. I'm just gonna say, going back to Carson, run the ball. Don't let that guy throw a pass because he doesn't have a line to give him the time he needs to be in the pocket.
Yeah, but if
he reminded me of Cousins sitting back there. Get the guy a stool, for crying out loud. So we can get him a cigar and a bourbon so he can hang out for a while.
Let me be counter and just quick answers from each of you. Carson Wentz took the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl and was cheated out of being the guy at the game because he ran into piles too often. So what Kevin is saying to me is a good way to keep him dead, practically. Right or wrong, Jace?
I mean, you're right. You got to have an offensive line in the NFL if you want to be successful. That's where a lot of teams build their teams.
He said I'm right. That's all I needed to hear. James?
I'll be simple. You're correct.
Oh,
you're correct.
Love it.
Yeah.
And these guys have all
forgotten. Am I getting that raise now?
Yeah. These guys all forgot more about football than I've ever known. And they said I was right. So I just love Carson in many ways. Yeah. North Dakota kid, hard not to. Thanks, guys.
Well, you know what? I tell you this about Carson. He's not the solution, but he's not the problem.
All right. I think they're going to talk about it today on WDOY. Pretty sure. More after this. All right. We got a lot to do today and a short time to do it. As our friends from Smokey Bandit would say, it'll have to be a bumper song today.
Long way to go and a short time to get there.
I have a little bit of advice. It's medical advice, which I shouldn't give because I'm not a doctor. I play one on the radio. But I would say this to you. If you are upset today in any way or upset last night about the Minnesota Vikings, I told you so. I had it on. And I was watching with one eye, but I was, you know, talking to my wife, thinking about the hot tub, just got back from Dallas, went to the NDSU event with Steve Forbes last night, And so I just watching a little bit, and the only thing I thought of is Carson Wentz is getting screwed by a lot of people, including the I think what they're doing is going, he's 31. You know, I mean, he's almost done.
32, I think.
Whatever. Yeah. Throw him to the wolves and just, you know, whatever. He's done and banged up. We'll put J.J. McCarthy. I think that's what's happening. And, you know, he's done well in the win column for a backup quarterback. So here's the deal, though. Whatever worries you about all of that, do what I do. Expect nothing and just don't have it consume your life. That's all I'm saying. Sort of like the advice I give to the TDS people. You know, it's got the mind first, then the body. Be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Should have all the hope in the world before the season with J.J. McCarthy and everybody coming in, and then they start dropping like flies. The Uncle Kev tip is have no expectations for the Vikings right now. They're in complete disarray because
we're saying
of
the
injuries.
Same thing, aren't
you know
we?
What? It happens. Yeah, it happens in the NFL. We always pray we stay healthy. If you don't stay healthy, you're done.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. They might eke out a few more wins, but we'll see how it goes if they can get J.J. back.
So the fellas, the Jamokes from our sports department just left here. And after they
Jamoke
got...
Jamoke is not a nice term, by the way.
Is it not?
No.
Is it humorous in any way? Or no?
I would avoid that.
Okay. No. The
gentleman would be...
The gentleman from the sports... And they are both true gentlemen. They are like the best of the best, Jason James. But what I was going to say is, I don't know anything about this. You guys have all forgot more about football than I know. I said, you know, could they trade for somebody, or are we beyond that? They said, no, they could actually. No, look, hear
they
me
could,
out.
But they,
hear me
they
out.
Won't.
You're going to let me talk and hear me out for a sec?
You ever let me talk? What are you talking about?
Well, it's my show. You just had 3 hours to talk. That's all I'm saying.
I'm listening.
You're the pilot. Okay, so these guys said they could trade, and I'm like, don't we have 15 receivers? You know, would there be a receiver worth trading for somebody that's on the O-line? Or here's the better idea. Ziggy Wolf is a tightwad of all tightwads. He should go to that Kelsey dude and say, here's the deal. I know you got enough money, but maybe just to have a little fun, you come help Carson, your former, Eagle, and name your price. That's what Ziggy should do. Right or wrong? What do you think?
No. No, shouldn't trade, shouldn't mess up anything.
It's not a trade. You're not listening again. Kevin has this problem. He does 10 things, and he has to do them all at once.
Go high kettle, brother.
I realize, but I'm saying something coherent here and talking, and all I'm saying is that you don't have to trade for the Kelsey kid. What's Travis's brother's name? Wait for the Eagles.
Jason.
Okay. Is he playing right now?
No, he's retired.
Does he have a price tag?
Not a chance, no.
When you say not a chance, I always say to my kids when they say not a chance, and every salesperson here, I don't think they'll. Oh, okay. What is the harm in asking?
Are you asking him to come back and play?
Correct, for 1 year, for a lot of
not
money.
Not a chance, never to happen. He's got a lot of money.
I got
he's
it. Got a, some people like
not,
more
now
money.
You're not going to get him. I mean, you're not going to get Jason Kelsey, but. I mean, you could go to the UFL. There's a lot of places you could go to try and find bigger linemen, but that's easier said than done.
Last thing I'm going to ask or say about this, because there's much more important things to talk about. We have Craig Bohl on the show today. We have Senator Kevin Cramer on literally, you know, saving us from China, all of that. You're saying it's not even worth asking Jason Kelsey because he has all the money in the world. What if he wants something more than money? Wants to help out his fellow Eagle, and, you know, he'd take one more Super Bowl ring. And all Ziggy Wolf has to do is sign a big check, which he's got a lot of money last time I checked because he ripped off Minnesota. He didn't rip off Minnesota. He extracted some corporate welfare out of him. Why not ask, Kevin? The answer can be no. Why not ask?
Because he's out of shape. He's doing a podcast. He's not. There's no way he's game ready. That's just. I mean, that's not the guy to even look at, Scott. No one would even look at him.
I'm going to argue.
He's done.
Not one wick with you about anything you said. Let me repeat my question. Is there any harm in asking?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Thank you.
Why ask, though, if you know there's answers? No. Why waste your time with putting the deal together?
That's not how I'm operating. I don't operate that way. Answer may be no, but you
the
might
NFL
say,
does.
He might sleep on it and go, hey, maybe you're right. You shouldn't be in sales, Kev, ever, because
I'm not. Yeah. I would never be in. No. But I know enough about the NBA or NFL and been around it long enough. So
we should talk about the NBA, too, because, wow, there's the Pete Rose on steroids kind of scandal going there. Woo! I'm telling you what, you paying attention to that at all?
Oh, how there's people big going of an to jail. You have to be. Yeah, it's crazy.
There's people going to jail, and they have the receipts already. Anyway, folks, we got a fun Monday on the Friday on the program, rather Monday too. Every day is a fun day on What's on Your Mind. I apologize in advance because Senator Kramer was working with Air Force generals or something today, and not able to join us like he regularly does on Friday. So we talked last night, and I'm only apologizing because you can't weigh in by calling him, which is what we like most about the opportunity to chat with him each week. But there is some really good nuggets in this. We'll talk about the shutdown. We'll talk about being in the Oval Office and Trump right now just owning the Democrats. Have you seen the Elizabeth Warren now thing? He's announced that the new addition to the White House will be named after Pocahontas. So I think that's very kind of him. That's an olive branch, Kev, is what that is.
They're putting a teepee on it.
Are so they really? Well, there you go. Yeah, add so that as well.
That was the meme.
Now we honor the Native Americans by recognizing their culture and someone that is 0.00001 Native all the way up to the people who, but for them, we would not be who we are because they went before us. And we did really
old yurt out there.
We did really horrible things. Robber barons, my new favorite enemy. Robber barons did this to them, and now these poor people, besides being the most resilient individuals the world has ever known, you know, all they needed was a tree to eat, okay, and house themselves. We've now we've ensnared them in the federal government, and there is so much sad, diabetes, violence, alcoholism, crime on these Native American reservations. I hope they, too, will say, Donald Trump, free us. Let us be resilient again. He was actually, this Donald Trump story, was here for a fundraiser for Kevin Kramer. We were at the Ramada Plaza Suites then, or whatever it is now, Delta One. And he got up and he was talking about what we learned firsthand during the first Trump administration, and a little bit in the second, is that he won because non-traditional Democrats voted for him. Meaning, basically, that's the wrong word. People who voted for the Democratic Party forever because they said they're better for black people. They know us. They're better for brown people. They know us. They're better for women. Suburban moms that want to talk about abortion, right? But the best one is Native Americans. Go look at Native America. North Dakota is as red as you get except for two blue counties, Native Americans. Well, Trump said to them at this little event in Fargo, what the hell do you have to lose? Why not try a different flavor? And I think now more than ever, that's true. And if the Native Americans come over, 20% of them will never see another Democrat in a position of leadership in our state, in our country. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, people. I'm yearning for it. I want a punch in the mouth. So Senator Kramer coming up, and then Craig Bohl, former Bison coach, now head of the Coaches Association, joins us today. Can't miss radio. You turn the dial, you're a special kind of human. Because you're going to go off probably and be in some silence, and that's okay, too. Don't go away. It here, Senator Kevin Kramer, the Talk Radio Town Hall. Pre-taped today, but lots of good stuff. Talk more about farmers being upset, cattle ranchers being upset in a second. And I'm a little upset, too, because I think there's more to do for agriculture. I just think Trump's got a lot on his plate, and he's not forgotten farmers. I know that. We're brought to you today by our friends, dear friends, that have come to me and said, will you help us sell a property? And I said, sure, let me look at it. And I said, you got to be kidding me. This is like paradise. This should be a $10 million operation. 320 acres, 300 of which make money, income-producing land, 20 that are just You know, this beautiful forest, woods, trails. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. I'd love to show it to you. We're getting a lot of attention on this because we've done, our digital team is marketing this all over the country, largely because, you know, a lot of people want to get away from the craziness of this world these days, but also because it has a bunker underneath it with like two 20 kilowatt generators and air filtration systems, 8,000 gallon fuel tank. And I mean, it's all about shielding your family from, you know, Hamas-like unthinkable things and chemicals. And anyway, this is really, really a unique piece of land. I would love to sell it to somebody that lives here, not in California. And if you want to see it, you just email me, Scott H at flagfamily.com, or call 701-367-2054. Again, my number, 701-367-2054. You can call the front desk here too, and we'll hook you up with the right people to see this property. And it is, it sounds like a sales line. It is going to go fast. And another real estate guru today, he does the selling himself and buying, selling in the Phoenix metro area. My friend Ryan Scarprud can help you out. Forget the snow, soak up the sunshine. More about what he can do to help you relocate if you're retiring, upgrading. Want to invest, for crying out loud. You can't shovelsunshine.com. You can't shovelsunshine.com. What's that 1081 exchange or 1031 exchange deal where if you have a windfall of money from selling a business, you put it into another income-producing asset, and then you don't have to pay taxes on it? Ryan knows all that stuff. You can't shovelsunshine.com. Back to Kevin Kramer, bottom of the hour, Craig Bohl, former NDSU coach, now head of the the Coaches Association, is going to talk about the NIL dumpster fire. So stay tuned for that. Okay, back to Senator Kevin Kramer, Talk Radio Town Hall. Here's my theory. We don't need to sell our products to China or anywhere else. We could grow our own way out of this. If we stop realizing that CO2 is an opportunity and a commodity we should use and could help us take oil out of the ground and helps corn farmers, right? There's great innovation. My friend Gene Nicholas, can-do farmer, he said, value added. Why do I want to send wheat to Minneapolis when we can set up a plant in Carrington and do a pasta plant? Ethanol is corn. So what if we said soybeans, you know, crushing plants, whatever. What if we said we're going to build things on green fields? One in Richardson going up right now, Gevo. Building a sustainable aviation fuel plant. Richardson's thrilled. More jobs, turning land into money. We could do that all over North and South Dakota. So why not have Donald Trump come to North Dakota, explain that to the world, and we grow our way out of this, Senator Kramer?
Things I'll tell you, this won't surprise you either, but if I'm with 8 cabinet secretaries, which are probably were, that's probably about what were there Tuesday. Maybe it was 6. I don't know. There were a lot of them. The one I go to talk to every single time, first of all, because I think he's very talented, he's very special, and he's really important, is Jameson Greer, the trade.
I couldn't agree. He's number 3 on my list as most important people, and nobody knows. Brett Baer did a great interview with him, and I was like, wow, he is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's been doing a lot of TV lately. He's been doing a lot of the business channels, and he's a good friend. He and I compare a lot of notes, so I spent a lot of time with him on Tuesday, just learning, because he's in Malaysia now. So that was Tuesday. So he went to Malaysia yesterday. He's the front man for the Xi Trump summit in South Korea. And, so I get a lot of the details of the things that he's dealing with the Chinese on and what's coming next. I asked him, how about Canada? What about, this, that? And he gives me a list of about 10 things that they're working on, and, things are going well. And I'm not going to share any of that right now, but there's a lot happening, Scott, that's like just breaking out a little bit at a time. So there's some patience that obviously we need to have, because like you said, how's this going to end? I just think 6 months from now it's going to be good, really, really good, and 12 months from now it's going to be great. And we've seen the movie, we've seen how it ends. But your point is, can we get him out and about telling the story? And we could, and we can, but right now he's, you know, he's off to do trade with China in a few days, and that's it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah,
the
it
guy
is.
Has so
but
much energy.
I think he has to go over North and South Dakota to get to China. Just maybe needs some gas, but
can go either way.
Yeah. So I want to ask about China in a moment. I talked to Bill O'Reilly recently. He's written a great new book, by the way. There's only like four pages on it about robber barons and Teddy Roosevelt. I read those four pages over and over in the sauna. And, you know, I now may never go into Rockefeller Center ever, and I'm embarrassed that my daughter works for Morgan and Stanley. This is gross, obscene, unbelievable. And we have a lot of robber barons that are still doing what they do. So it really makes me angry. But anyway, Bill O'Reilly's whole thing is about evil, and he goes through all these people and talks about each of them. And Putin's on the list, and obviously Mao Zedong, and all these people you'd expect, right? But Bill O'Reilly said that he was dispatched to China on behalf of Trump. And he said, China is weak right now, and China is ripe for a deal. So Russia's the bad guy. We got to cut them off at the knees, which I believe you and Senator Thune have been trying to do more sanctions in Russia.
More than ever, yeah. And it finally is happening a little bit. You know, the president put some sanctions on Russia the other day because he was tired of being, you know, told by Vladimir Putin no, you know, and he finally took some stands, or took some action. I shouldn't say stands. He's always taking a stand. But
do you agree with me, though, that this is I guess I didn't realize that. I was talking to Ross Perot Jr., who's the newest Maduro donor.
Such a great guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
and
he's
such a great guy. He's such a good guy. He's just like his dad. And, you know, I interviewed his dad in our studio in Grand Forks, and they have it in the archives even. It's just they save everything. And he made a very interesting point. First of all, I'd always been a little crabby about Perot because I thought he elected Clinton, you know.
He certainly contributed to it, yes.
But I look back and say he was really Trump before Trump. You know, he was.
That's for sure.
Yeah. He didn't need to win. He didn't care to win. You know, he's trying to talk about the budget. And it, what's really interesting to me is Ross Perot Jr. walked me through the whole, like his life, you know, birth to death of his dad. And he stopped a few times. I'll send you the interview because we did it yesterday. And he said, here's the deal. If my dad had been president, there would have been no 9/11 because he wouldn't have been at a cocktail party and unable to take the call from the military to take out bin Laden. He would have said, why are you even asking the question? Why isn't he dead yet? And then secondly, he said, there'd been no COVID. And I said, I got to ask, you think COVID was like, you know, like designed to take our economy out and Trump out? He said, well, that was a residual benefit. But he said, no, it destroyed their economy. And I didn't realize that. I mean, they're vulnerable right now, right?
They are very vulnerable. They really, this is back to Trump intuition. He intuitively understands this is their vulnerability. The thing that I sometimes think he lacks understanding of is that these are madmen. Since they're not capitalists, even though they like transactions, they don't think quite the same way. In other words, their ideology is religious to them. One of the things I had the chief of staff of President Zelensky's chief of staff in my office last week. I think it was last week. He and the new ambassador and the defense minister, they all came in advance of President Zelensky, and they
hold that thought.
Please do. Zelensky's chief of staff in his office.
I want to hear this.
Yeah, right? Masterclass on taking out Russia's assets, too, by the way. More after this on What's on Your Mind. We'll be right back. Back on What's on Your Mind. 21 past the hour. Brought to you by On Track Garage Door. Need a new garage door fast? Reliable repairs, commercial, especially farm shop doors. They'll fix them up if you don't need a new one, or they'll tell you, hey, you do need a new one, and here's a good price. They're going everywhere these days, all throughout North Dakota. 701-793-4246. Okay, back with Senator Kevin Cramer. And we were talking before the break a little bit about, well, just pick up where we left off, Kev, because this is good.
They stopped by. They started their day in my office, and we had a long talk. I prayed with them and over them. I just felt like I said, do you mind if I pray for all of you and for your country? And oh my gosh, it was just one of the most tender things. Anyway, and we talked about this, and they're preparing again for the Zelensky visit. And I said, the only advice I can tell you, and a lot of foreign dignitaries and diplomats come to talk to me about how to talk to Donald Trump. And these guys, it's not their first times. And we know Zelensky's more clumsy than most at it. And then you have the language barriers, which can confuse messages. I said, just one, my best advice to you, and I say this to everybody, while you're thinking about the moral issue of the day, you know, whether it's children. Now, Donald Trump hates war more than any president I've ever known. I mean, he just at a gut level, at a guttural sort of personal level, he just can't stand killing, right? And so he has a tendency not to even differentiate between who's killing whom, you know, and a little bit, because a life is a life, and he understands that. But I think what he may not quite grasp is that while he's doing business, and I told him, I said, you have to remember, he views every relationship as a potential partnership, a potential economic partnership. And he's not wrong about that, Scott. I mean,
That's Argentina.
See, yeah. That, in fact, Exhibit A. And that's why he's, you know, now with Australia, this is crazy, actually. I mean, I love this so much. When he spoke, not just favorably, but doubled down on selling up to four Virginia-class submarines to Australia, which a lot of us are going, oh my gosh, we can't afford to get rid of four, you know, Virginia-class submarines because we're not building them fast enough. And I was part of that, you know, from the beginning. When I was the chair of the Sea Power Subcommittee, and I actually went to the United Kingdom to talk to their diplomats and their military about the AUKUS program, but it started with, we need more critical minerals. And everything, you just watch him, everything has a business relationship sort of underpinning of everything. And because he understands, if you're doing business with somebody, if somebody's your business partner, there's a pretty good chance they're not going to shoot you. You know, because their success depends on your success. And that's, but when you're dealing with a madman like Vladimir Putin, or Xi Jinping, who, you know, one guy wants to be emperor for life, and the other guy wants to reinstate the Soviet Union, and that's more important to them than their country's economic situation. Well, less so with Xi Jinping. He clearly wants part of his legacy. He sees his legacy deteriorating, to your point, because they are so vulnerable and they're so dependent on the United States. We are dependent on them, but they're equally, if not more, dependent on us. And if we could ever get over our addiction to their cheap stuff, which I'm sorry we ever got, you know, hooked on, you know, we didn't need them, they'd be done.
I have two other questions before I let you go. And it's related to what we are getting done while this is happening. This is another reason the Democrats are libtards. Pop-Tarts, I forget how you say that, but because you're winning in a new way while they're shutting the government down. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's an interesting point, Scotty. Just think, though, we just had this crazy, you know, 2000 or whatever, no kings rallies, right? So their whole thing is about he's a king. He thinks he's a king. We don't have kings. No kings, no kings, no kings. And then they hand him the keys to the kingdom. I mean, you honestly can't make it up, Scott. They literally, by shutting down the government, gave all of the power of the government to the executive that they say is acting like a king. And to which I say, you made him a king. You are making him a king. I don't know if they can't. I know some of them are intellectually smart enough to know what they've done. And yet somehow they've trapped themselves in their own snare. It's bizarre.
So, specific to Grand Forks and things that are happening, I know that if you say NDAA, people think you're talking about, you know, AAA insurance. So, but it's really important to North Dakota. And you had a couple wins specifically for North Dakota on that. Tell me about that.
Well, we always have some wins for North Dakota on the National Defense Authorization Act. So just a little history. The National Defense Authorization Act, defense is the one thing we authorize every single year as per the Constitution. You know, so we do a farm bill every 5 years, and then we extend them a year or two. We do a highway bill every 5 years, and we might extend it 1 or 2 years while we're working on the next one or whatever. I prefer 5 years. We do a Water Resource Development Act authorization every 2 years. We started that when I was in the House. They used to do it, and then they went to longer dysfunction. We got into a 2-year cycle when I was in the House, and have been on that ever since. And I've chaired that subcommittee for a long time. And so it's really, it's there's always something. But with National Defense Authorization Act, yeah, we've got a new runway coming into Grand Forks. As soon as the B-1 bombers leave, we're going to get the new runway resurfaced, and then we'll get the next round of B-1s that come and go while we prepare for a new mission that I can't talk about right now, that we put money into, and authorized, of course, the, Golden Dome and more ISR and intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance. We beefed up the nuclear modernization, which involves Sentinel, which is going to replace the Minuteman III ICBMs up at Minot, along with new engines for the B-52 bombers, which are, you know, 60, 70-year-old airplanes. Isn't it amazing? B-1s, B-2s, and all these others keep coming and going. In the meantime, the B-52 that was, you know, goes back to the 60s and 50s is still flying and carrying incredible nuclear payloads. There's all of this stuff that's building up. I'm going to have a pretty big announcement here before too long relating to Grand Forks and to the University of North Dakota that's in the sort of the space, if you will, the aerospace space. Because there's another part of all of that besides defense authorization. And I might even add this. I just have to say it. I'm so delighted that my friend, General Ken Wilsbach, has been named the next chief of staff of the Air Force. I know him very well, and his wife, Cindy, just great people.
Unbelievable what's going on here. It's amazing the connections and what they are doing for North Dakota that nobody can even know, and it's all about beating China. Raise your hand if you want us to beat China. Would you do that for me? Back on What's on Your Mind, our thanks to Senator Cramer for taking some time for us last night before he hopped on a plane today. And one of the questions I asked him that you'll hear on the social media version of this is related to his relationship with Donald Trump and wanting to talk more about this NIL situation. He's had Nick Saban, the Alabama coach, in one ear, but he wants Kevin in his other, related to, obviously, the FCS part of this. And I know our next guest has been working on this front as well, so want to spend a little time talking about it. Craig Bohl is the former NDSU coach. He, of course, coached Carson Wentz and a few other players I forget that might be in the NFL. And now he heads
Josh
up.
Josh Allen guy.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. Anyway, he's given up his post in beautiful Wyoming to be the head of the Coaches Association. Joins us now for an exclusive interview right here on the program. And thank you for doing this, Craig. We appreciate that.
You bet. Let's talk a little college football, kind of a relief of all these other things that are going on out there. The good news is college football has never been more popular. And the challenge, though, as we move forward, we've got some choppy water. I'm convinced that when I took this job, Scott, some people said, great, Craig, you're in charge. The good old days are back. And I said, well, that horse left the barn, but it doesn't mean we can't have good days moving forward. And so as we work through this ever-changing landscape, I think if we can get the right stakeholders at the table, Scott, that we can really make a difference and make some measured decisions that for the betterment of the student athletes and the college football enterprise.
Yeah, quick, speaking of college football, I know your former team is down at South Dakota playing the Bunnies or something. I forget down there. Do you think you think they win by two or three touchdowns this weekend? What do you
think?
Well,
you know what? If Tim Polasek can call up some right plays and everything else, I think it's going to be a heck of an opportunity. I can tell you, I've watched a lot of college football around the country at the highest levels, so to speak, highest levels. Those two teams can match up with just about anybody else out there, and so it should be a heck of a ball game.
Yeah, and speaking of which, I mean, that's such good football. It's amazing. It's threatened, isn't it, given what's going on, and mostly because the FBS is obviously going to have a lot of juice in D.C.,
right.
And therefore the FCS might be left behind. Is that too strong, Craig?
Well, I don't know if I would characterize it exactly like that, but there's certainly some concerns. I spent some time with your representative, Judy Fedorchak, and she brought up some concerns if we give just a carte blanche pass that some of the larger conferences are going to try to garner all the TV exposure, all the TV dollars, and disseminate those. And so you've seen some real, staging behind the scenes. Cody Campbell is a guy who's really close with President Trump. He's a former Texas Tech offensive lineman. He was really concerned about where college athletics is at and really felt like his proposal might have a more fair and equitable balance. But I can tell you some of the rural states – some of their representatives are concerned about how the whole pie is going to be divvied up.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, anytime you're dealing with Congress, I mean, ouch, right? I mean, it's just and they got a lot going on, to be fair. I mean, they really do. There's certainly a lot going on. And Senator Kramer told me that in the portion of the interview we didn't get a chance to share. He's like, Trump loves football, right? I mean, Trump called Kevin Kramer within a minute of the national championship game ending, saying that isn't just a good team, that's a great program. I mean, they're, you know, right? So he's watching it and loves football. Mm-hmm. And I think there's even an element of Donald Trump being very Teddy Roosevelt-like in his desire to, save football. And this is what it might be. But this to me seems like, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, red, blue, green, that everybody could actually get in the room and agree on. Is that, you see any of that happening?
Well, in certain lanes, one of the things that the AFCA has done is what is acutely problematic to all our coaches is now with the influx of a huge amount of money that players can be compensated, and you can be on different sides of the fence on whether that's the case, but this is our reality. Players are at the table with a portion of the revenue. But what had occurred was it attracted some really, really marginal characters to come in and represent these players. And certainly they need representation. You have certain players that are getting a $2 million contract. And so an agent representation is really appropriate and needed. But what has occurred is some of the predatory actions by some of these guys, not all of them, but they basically will go into maybe some underserved areas. And, I've seen examples of parents relinquishing their guardian rights to an agent who's promised them that their son is going to make $500,000. And when they're worried about the light bill, they say, go ahead. And then they move these players across state lines. And all they're really concerned about is just trying to come up with a fee where the NFL will operate at like 3%. These guys are charging 25 to 30%. And the reason why I'm saying all this is the AFCA's lobbied Congress. We've been up to Capitol Hill, both on the House side and the Senate side. And in one area where they all can agree on is they don't want to see young people being exploited. And that's what's going on right now. So we're in hopes that, whether it's the SAFE Act or the SCORE Act, I have been told by some members, if that all gets blown up, they're willing to go ahead and make a standalone bill on the floor, and which would deal with these agents. And my dear friend Senator Tuberville, when I met with him, he said, well, I see the problem, but he said, you'll never get a standalone bill. And I think maybe because of some of the discourse, that may have a lane to at least have a bipartisan appeal.
Yeah, no kidding. And actually, Senator Cramer, I think, was telling me that off the air yesterday because he wants to reconnect with you. He talked to Tommy Tuberville about this, and Tuberville said we just got to get Trump to pay attention. Tuberville has less juice with Trump now because he's leaving to go run for governor. So there's all these, you know, crazy angles that are going on. But I have a couple NIL questions specific to this. And what you just described to me is something very important in this. These agents that are ripping these kids off are robber barons. They are robber barons, and they ought to be stopped dead in their tracks. And everybody ought to agree with that, from Elizabeth Warren on down. So very important point. Kev Flynn, for Coach Bull, what's your question?
Hey, Coach Kevin Flynn, regarding the NIL and the portal, I think the portal's devastated college football, college athletics in a lot of ways. But talk about the coaching with that, as that came in while you were, you know, in the at the front of that. You've got all of a sudden you've got to come up with money. You've got to come up with whatever sort of products. You've got to come up with certain certain lunch menus and things too. I mean, you know, what kind of what did that add to the dynamic of just coaching college athletes?
Well, you know what, it really had an impact on me. I was at the tail end of my tenure, and kind of an old school guy, learned a lot from Coach Osborne and implemented all those things at NDSU, and we were in the process of working that through at Wyoming. I think you mentioned off air of identifying a player like Josh Allen and some of our other guys, and along with Carson Wentz. What occurred to me at the tail end of my career, some of these guys were given opportunities, and I was all for it, for them to be able to go out and make a ton of money. It forced me to evolve. But what really concerned me, guys, is just the potential fallout of the academic mission of what we're really trying to accomplish for guys to graduate, you know, go out and get a meaningful job, become husbands and fathers and, you know, really make a difference in our world, in our society. And so I was really concerned about the academic mission. When you have players who are transferring five times, there's no way that their college degree is going to allow them, because every time you transfer, you lose credits. And so that's a kind of a missing message right now that I think people do care about.
For sure. You know,
and solid answer.
It is. I'm with you guys. The opportunity ought to be there for them to get something, but it's gotten ridiculous and the agents are winning more. And you're giving us a masterclass in all this today, Craig.
And so many of those kids are not going to go play professional football.
Right. That's the other thing.
You're raising citizens. We ought to be coaching citizens.
100%. And speaking of that, my friend Brad Berry coached UND hockey team for a lot of years, and he was more a dad to these kids than anything. And many of them would stay just because they understood, number one, they were getting the development that their drafted teams wanted them to get, but they were getting a dad who's building character. And now the new coach is sort of saying, and what Brad wanted to do is play in both lanes. There's some players that you need to keep, so do what you got to do there. But the other guys are going to, you know, see the value in just staying there and getting better. The new coaches up there and a lot of the alumni at UND for hockey have said, screw anybody that doesn't want to be here. You don't want to be here and play for this team. We don't want you either. Get out of here. You know, and go on the portal. That's not the right approach either long term, is it, Craig?
No, it really isn't. And you know, one of the things that we were able to accomplish as the AFCA in football, we were unique. I know that both you two had talked about the portal and what that all means, but we had two windows, and it really became unbelievably problematic on guys coming and going, and coaches were trying to maintain a roster after the spring, and you had new guys show up and in the summer. And, you know, I can't equate it to other sports, but football is an unbelievably competitive and unbelievably complex game where you have different subsets. What an offensive left tackle does is quite frankly different than what the left corner does. And so we were able to pass a proposal that did work through the NCAA, thank goodness, of one window. But I can tell you here's what I will say, guys. When you're sitting in the living room of we're not talking about the young man whose father is an attorney that he plays golf at the country club with his son every day or every weekly. We're talking about, you know, well, maybe it's a rural kid from West Virginia who's, you know, they're living on food stamps right now, and the mom's trying to trying to pay off the electric bill, and somebody comes in and says, you can make $500,000, and that's going to have a change on where they're at financially. So I think we can't throw the baby out with the whatever that word Coach Osborne used to say with the bathwater. I do think there needs to be a balance here and recognize these players have an opportunity for some significant payment. I know one of the coaches mentioned.
Just hold that thought because we're going to go to the break here, and you wanted to mention one of the coaches we just talked about. But I would say to you, I get it. A mom on food stamps is going to say, this is our lotto, and my precious kid is going to do great things. So I'm going to say we're blessed. But you could probably make the argument if they do this right in college, they're going to make a lot more money in the NFL. So how do you help bridge the gap? There's somebody that needs the money. Give her $100,000, she'd be thrilled. You know. So let's talk more about that. Craig Bohl, famous coach, with us on the show. Wow. The Foo Fighters are coming to Fargo, Kev tells me.
Yes, sir. September 12th. Tickets go on sale, I believe, Halloween.
Have they ever not been a big deal?
Today.
Have they ever kind of faded and now they're coming back? Or
No, they've always, it's 90s. It's 90s stuff.
It.
But Dave Grohl, big fan of Dave Grohl since the Nirvana days. So I've never seen him, so I'm in on this show.
Well,
sure.
A story I won't get into today, but Donald Trump has made a promise to come to the Fargo Dome. They have kind of a liberal director of the Fargo Dome. So he's always like, I don't, they'd have to pay in advance. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But can you imagine if Donald Trump came, and one of the reasons he wants to come is because Elton John played at the Fargo Dome, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to beat that record. That's very Trump-like. I told Kevin Cramer earlier, look, last time I checked, North Dakota's on the way to China. Just stop here on the way. And then Craig,
we have a runway.
Yeah, Coach Bohl and him could figure everything out in the house the bison built. You know, I just think it's genius. So, Coach, about 5 minutes left, and I want to give you as much time as possible here on this important topic. You mentioned something about a coach you wanted to bring up before the
break. Well, you know what I am saying is Coach Osborne at the height of his career made $600,000. If you run the numbers, even if you look at cost of inflation and everything else, what coaches now are making, you got coaches making $13 million. And so I think as coaches, we need to be guarded if we're saying all the players want to do is get paid when they're making $13 million a year. To me, I think that needs to be a more measured approach and more measured look on that.
Yeah.
Because I don't see any of these coaches turning down $13 million. I mean, you got a defensive coordinator who's making $3 million. When I was a DC at Nebraska, I made $120,000. And I'm not saying coaches don't deserve compensation, but there needs to be a fair, balanced approach.
Well, you head up the Coaches Association. If you got all those coaches in the room, maybe except Nick Saban, who's more worried about his money and fame than he is fixing anything.
You said it, I didn't.
I understand.
You said it, I didn't.
Tommy Tuberville told me that. The coach from Alabama told me that, for crying out loud. So I'm not speaking out of school. But I'm saying if you got all of them in a room, from Brad Berry to every good football coach, Brad Berry made more money than he ever even needed, $750,000 coaching the team. But they should, by the way. Five most important people in North Dakota are the governor, okay? The presidents of the two universities, NDSU and UND, and the hockey coach at UND and the football coach at the Bison. Prove me wrong. If you got them all in the room and said, let's take 25% less and let's put up a loan of some kind that we can give parents or families to say, just wait, don't take the first check that comes. Because the check bigger will come when they get to the NFL, the NHL. Would that work, Craig?
Well, I know we had a long conversation with Senator Blackburn from Tennessee, and she proposed something like that, that some of these funds would go into, say like a savings account that would be distributed once they graduated. I think that there's some hurdles there. But one thing you said, Scott, one of the reasons why we engaged Congress as the AFCA is sometimes our coaches are put off to the side. It's like you coaches just call more passes on first and 10, and we know more about how to move college football forward. And doggone it, guys, we're tired of that. Our voices are going to be heard. We're the practitioners. And, there's all kinds of ideas, Scott. I do on the last part, though, here. We were talking about agents, and I want you to circle back here. Here would be our plan to see if this would make sense. We're asking that there be a national registration of any agent. We're saying that they have to have a salary cap of 5%. We have to say that there has to be some national enforcement. And we're having to say that there needs to be transparency. To me, those are a win-win.
Right.
And right now, we have nothing.
Yeah.
And so that's our position right there. And it's, like I said, it's resonated with both sides of the aisle.
Should pass 99-0 in the Senate and 435-0, and President Trump signs it at the Fargo Dome in 30 seconds. I think it's a brilliant idea. And I'm guessing, Craig, it's going to happen. I mean, it's a good enough idea. There's just so much going on. A couple questions from our audience I want to get to, and I only have so quick answers, quick questions. Listener says, top 30 schools pay so much money, they should be in a league of their own. They can play for their own championship, pay for play league, let the normal colleges play for their own championships. Good idea or bad?
I think it's a bad idea. I know it's been floated around, but I do think this, on any given Saturday, you're going to find somebody go out there. So all those people that said NDSU had no business playing the Minnesota Gophers, like Sid Hartman, look what those NDSU kids did, and look at the impact that had made. So please don't take that opportunity away from those guys.
Yeah, good point. Ask Craig if there will be something for compensating schools that spend time developing players they lose through the portal.
Yeah, here's my suggestion is that, say like at NDSU or Wyoming, we spend the revenue or resources to get them bigger, stronger, coach them. Okay, if you want to go to, say, this other school for $500,000, well, there's a buyout. When I was at Wyoming, my buyout was $9.5 million. If I wanted to go to one of these other schools, I was writing a check for $9.5 million. The school needs to be compensated, and I think there's some real legs to that.
Hey, you're a Patriot, and you're a great football coach, and last time I checked, they paid you okay at Wyoming. You could be on a beach somewhere with Ryan, and you're doing this because you care. So we appreciate you.
You know, I appreciate being on this. North Dakota's got great times with me. Thanks for having some time with college football, guys.
You bet. Appreciate it very much. It's important.
Stay out of your bride.
It's a quality of life thing for a lot of people, and that's a good mental health thing in this crazy world we live in. Coach Craig Bull with us today. See you Monday, folks. Thanks for watching, too, on Beck TV. God bless you.